राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम हरे हरे विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ता स्वामिनिति नामिने ॐ नमः कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्ता शतारिणे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे सर्वशेषा शून्यवादी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे शतारिणे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी अशत्यादेश जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द गदाधर शिव सादि गौर भक्त वृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य श्री अद्वैता गदा
Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda 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 Gopala 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 Govinda 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 Gopala 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 Gopala
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare.
Yeah, yeah. Ram Lakshman Hanuman.
Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada.
പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തത്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനസ്തുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ചകൽപദരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം. അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധനാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്മനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൽ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകി പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗൽഗുരും മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാ തമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈ വേദൈ സംഗവദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ when last Saturday we were discussing the Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter which just started, the important chapter of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is such an important chapter. I will tell you why it is so important compared to all other yoga systems. The reason is that in our way back to home, back to Krishna, in the Shastras, there are three processes mentioned. You'll find, it's not so explicitly mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shri Krishna, when talking to Uddhava, he said to Uddhava, "My dear Uddhava, there is only three processes I have given to this world to come back to me." And all these three processes are equally important, but which process one follows depends on his qualification. That is in the Shastram known as Adhikari Vedam. Adhikari Vedam means one's capacity to execute a particular process. That is his Adhikaritam. So Adhikari Vedam, or in other words, his qualification to do a particular process, is what decides a person to follow a particular process in going back home, back to Krishna. So Krishna has given three processes: Jnana Margam, or the path of knowledge, and Karma Margam, the path of action, and the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness. These are the three processes we have from Krishna has given to us. It's not mentioned exactly like that in the Bhagavad Gita, but in the purports of Srila Prabhupada, he has explained, I think in the end of second chapter, Prabhupada mentions that these are the three processes discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna very clearly mentions there, these are the three processes I have given to the human society to come back to me. Now, as I mentioned, out of these three processes, Jnana Margam, Karma Margam, and Bhakti Margam, the way it operates, the way it functions is that all of us, Krishna has given us this capacity, two things. One, to know things, knowledge, and the other one, the capacity to work, to function. So knowledge and function, or knowledge and work, these are the two tools Krishna has given to us. It is with these two things we have to operate in this world or function in this world. So out of these two, Jnana Margam is the path of knowledge and Karma Margam is the path of action. But by nature, because all of us have a propensity to do things in this world, that's something very difficult to separate from us. We have seen that how karma affects everybody. Karma has a very strong, in the second chapter I think we discussed this, that the Siddhantam of karma, or the principle of karma, is based on this understanding that we as human society is under, as a manushya, or the human population is under the strong influence of karma. And we have to recognize this, because the karma is the most binding force in this world after Krishna, which controls us very strongly in all circumstances, under all conditions. So because it's like that, karma is important for us to know, one thing. Secondly, you will notice one thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has put karma yogam in the beginning itself, right after the second chapter. In the second chapter, Krishna just discussed very briefly about the Jnana Margam,
karma siddhantam as well as the principle of karma as well as the steady intelligence or known as sthita prajnatvam. These three discussions were discussed in the second chapter, but the third chapter straight away Krishna starts with karma yoga. Why? This question will automatically come up because the karma yoga has been given a prominence in Vedas also. If you look at Vedas itself, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam and Atharva Vedam, the four Vedas, you will find Karmakandam takes most of it. Most of the contents of the Vedas is Karmakandam. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita also begins with Karma Yoga. So there has to have some reason why karma has been given this prominent position in the Vedic literature. Because it has a tremendous effect on your progress in Jnana Margam and Bhakti Margam. That is the reason why Karma Margam has been given this importance. We'll see how, in fact, to discuss which yoga system suits me or which way I should follow, these things will come in detail in the Ekadasham, in the 11th canto, much more in detail. In the Bhagavad Gita, those things are not discussed in depth. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, the 11th canto, Krishna has specifically made clear why different yoga systems is suitable for different people with different makeup, mental makeup. And there Krishna has also spoken about it, and he said that the nature of the human society generally falls into three categories. And three categories they fall into. There are a group of people who are very attached to the results of their activities, and they cannot give up anything in this world. Their attachment is so strong to everything. And not only that, when they do something in this world, they want the results. And if they don't get the results, they feel very disappointed as well. So there are these type of people. That is one group of people. There is another group who is known as the people who are in the path of knowledge or Jnana Margam. Intellectually, they are on a much higher platform, very superior position. And their mind and intelligence is so structured that they are always inquiring about the nature of the truth. Or the nature of the truth. It is by their nature itself, they are in that way inclined. So that is the process of knowledge that suits those people. And after that, there is a third group which follows the process of Krishna consciousness. These are those people who have come to the realization that they are always thinking that this life in this world is temporary, and at the same time, they also have the realization that the process of accumulating material objects or material things in this world is not giving them any satisfaction. But at the same time, they also feel their attachment to the family and the relatives and to the society is so strong, and they also find it difficult to give up most of the things in their life. So in other words, there is an in-between situation, neither this nor that. So that is where the process of Krishna consciousness comes into prominence. Or in other words, the Bhakti Margam. Bhakti Margam Manojyam, that beautiful Bhakti process is those. And you will notice that in this world, majority of the people will fall into that category. That is why Bhakti Margam is specifically important to most of the people. That majority of the people have this realization that the simply working hard in this world, earning a lot of wealth and enjoying senses is not the ultimate goal of life. That much conviction is there in their mind. Simultaneously, they also know that they are not in a position to give up all this attachment from home, attachment for family, attachment for even the minimum comforts in this world. So in other words, their mind is such that on the one hand, the materialistic life is not giving them satisfaction. On the other hand, the attachment is still there to material way of life. So it is this Bhakti Yogam is directed to. So you can see these things are Krishna explains in detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam much later. That is, you will note, I think it is in the chapter of the, when it comes to Krishna talking about the three kinds of yoga systems. That is in the 11th canto on the chapter number 20. Yogastrayo maya prokta nanam shrayo vidhilsaya jnanam karmam cha bhaktischa Nobhaya nyosti kutrajil. Krishna says, Yoga Shrayo Maya Prokta. I have spoken about three yoga systems. Mrinam Shrayo Vidhilsaya. All those three are equally important. Jnanam Karmam Cha Bhaktischa. Nobhaya nyosti kutrajil. Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. These are the only three processes, Krishna says, to come back to me, nothing else. Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo. Nyasinam Iha Karmasu. Teshwa Nirvinna Chittanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam. Krishna says they are the nature of the people who goes to these three different processes. Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogam. Jnana Yogam has got one difficulty. Jnana Yoga means simply accumulating knowledge in this world, spiritual knowledge, not material knowledge. Simply studying the Shastram and accumulating spiritual knowledge. This is the nature of a Jnani. Jnani goes in that route. Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo Nyasinam Iha Karmasum. And Karma Yogi as also he does not want to get involved in karmam, who the jnani, his realization is so strong, because by nature we all bring with us from our previous lives certain propensities in us, and that will continue in this lifetime. It is not something what has suddenly came up to us. Depending on our past activities, that vasanas has followed us. You will see this throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This one particular point spoken again and again, that how the tendencies from previous lifetimes follows a living entity even in this life. Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinam iha karmasu teshu anirvinnachittanam karma yogastu kaminam. Karma yogi, on the other hand, anirvinnastu chittanam, he is not able to give up anything. This is karma yogi's problem. Karma yogi is so attached to his work and the results. This is what the karma yogi's problem. So because it is like that, karma yogi, teshu anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam, then Krishna says, yadruchaya malkathasu. Then what will happen is that everyone gets thinking, what should I do now? Whether I should go to jnana yogam or karma yogam or bhakti margam. Krishna says, you don't have to worry about that so much, because yadruchaya malkathasu jada shraddho bina puman. Na nirvinno, na disakto, bhakti yogastu siddhidah. That somehow or the other, sometime you have a little desire to understand what is Krishna, who is Krishna. Jnanis are pursuing after them. All these three processes has its own difficulties also. Not that every one of them is so simple and straightforward. But execution-wise, bhakti yogam is much easier compared to jnanam and karmam. Jnanam and karmam has much more difficult processes. We will see what they are. In detail, we will discuss that when it comes to the Ekadasya Skandham later, because there it's a long chapter and there's so many things involved. But in essence, if we understand at this point that karma yogam has an important role in the beginning. Why? The reason is atyaya sakarani karma padalani acharya niryanmalani Bhode bhakti bade davaj ujitada mayandikim tavata. This karma yoga is a very difficult process. Karma badalani. How karma, the loss of karma is completely unknown to us. How different karma, what karma means activities. Activities what we perform in this world. How that will bounce back on us is unknown to us, isn't it? And because it is unknown to us, we don't care what we do in this world. That's our nature. Atyaya sakarani karma padalani. Those who are unaware of the loss of karma, they will act in such a way, because for them, immediate results what they get from that is their concern. And because of that, unknown by the loss of karma, they continue functioning in this world, and the result of that, more and more material bodies afterwards, because they do not know the science of karma, how karma works. Just like if you throw a stone to the sky, and when it comes down, you should move away from there. Otherwise, the stone will come and hit on your head straight away, right on your head. So it's like that. Karma is also like that. You release the karma from here. You do some activity in this world. It is already there. Now it will bounce back on you. It will come back to you in another time, in another form. How that will develop, that depends on the type of karma and the way you have executed that karma. That is the nature of this karma. Karma is like that. So it says there, atyaya sakarani, It's a lot of effort that one has to put it in. Atyayasakarani, karmapadalani, ajari niryanmalani, bhode bhaktipade dava chuchadada mayandikim tavadaham. This karma padalam or the karmam is such a wide range of karmam which we do not know how that will come back to us. Therefore, execution of karma is very difficult. That is why it's called atyayasakarani. It's a lot of effort to execute karmam in this world. Atyayasakarani, karma padalani, karma padalam. The word used is padalam. Padalam means it is a web of things. And this web of karmam is not understood by most of us. We do not know how that complicated that web is. The result of our karmam, reactions of our karmam. But we are always seeing in our own life that it is following us. It doesn't leave us. Karma will develop into vasanas and vasanas will stay inside, push us further to engage in further karma. Atyayasakarani karma padalani ajari niryanmalani. But if that karmam is executed properly, what will happen is, it will purify one. It will purify a person. That's the beauty of karma yoga. Provided it's executed properly. The execution of karma and that is naishkarmyam, the unattached to the results of the activities and offering the results to Krishna. That way, one can make it karma yoga. One's own karma in this world becomes karma yoga at that time. But here, it says there, atyayasakarani karma padalani. Then what will happen? Ajari niryanmalani. If you execute that karma in that way, what will happen is, ajarya niryanmalani, your mind will get purified. You will get purified. The process will purify you. That is why, niryanmalani bhode bhakti vadedava chuchitada mayandigim tavadaha. The result of that will be, you become qualified to come to jnana margam or come to the bhakti margam. This is why it is like that. So, karma yogam is basically preparing us to one of these two, Jnana Yogam or Bhakti Yogam. So in order to come to the Jnana Yogam or Bhakti Yogam, first of all, one has to execute Karma Yogam for some time, at least in one's life. That is the mandatory requirement that you start spiritual life with Karma Yogam. Although because Karma Yogam is also a part of that, it is mentioned like this, Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam has the three processes. We discussed Karma Yogam little bit before, the nature of Karma Yogam and the implications of Karma Yogam. But strictly speaking, Atyayasakarani Karma Padalani Acharya Niryanmalani Bhode Bhakti Padedava Chuchitada Uchitada Mayandikim Tavadaha Klishwa Tarkavadim. After finishing, after one has purified his consciousness, he has become purified in his heart, at that time he is qualified to come to the process of Jnana Margam or to the Bhakti Margam process. That is how it is. Klishtva tarkavade param davavabhorum. Then when he gets qualified to come to the Jnana Margam, which is also more difficult to execute. Klishtva tarkavade param davavabhor brahma khyamanye puna. Then his inquiry towards impersonal Brahman begins at that time for the Jnanis. Jnanis follow that path. The difficulty with this Jnana Margam is just like you are searching for something in a dark room. Just like in a dark room, if you go around, something you have lost in a dark room, what will happen? You keep searching for it. You'll bang your head somewhere, isn't it? Then you'll withdraw the head again. You'll go and look for somewhere else. There is no light there. You are keep searching, searching and searching, whole day and night searching. You are not finding it. This is the Jnana Margam. The difficulty is Jnana Margam is like this. Klishtva tarkapade param tavavabur. All you have studied all the Vedic literature relating to absolute truth. You have got all the so many literature on in Vedic philosophy which is related to the Jnana Margam. There's so much literature. And after studying all that, you are firmly convinced in your heart that the purpose of human life is to inquire about the absolute truth. Athado Brahma Jinyasa. That is where it begins. So that Brahma Jinyasa has started and you are inquiring after the absolute truth. But that inquiry cannot progress very fast because you have put your own effort and you are not have that strength, determination and the capacity to find the truth through your own search. That is not easy to do. So therefore, all the knowledge what you have accumulated from the books may not be so helpful to you in your search through the process of knowledge. Klishtva tarkapade param davavabur brahma khyamanye puna. Then ശ്ചിത്താർദ്രത്വമൃദ വിചിന്യ ബഹുബി സിദ്ധ്യന്തി ജന്മാന്തരൈ. ദൻ ദ ഭക്തിയോഗം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൺ ദി അതർ ഹാൻഡ് ശ്ചിത്താർദ്രത്വമൃദ വിചിന്യ ബഹുബി. That what will happen is, ardrada has to come to the mind. That is the qualification for Bhakti Yoga. Ardrada means one whose mind is become softer, or who has become more mellow. In other words, there are certain people in this world, their hearts are such that under no circumstances it will show any emotion. No feelings, like stone, virtually you can say. So for such people, it is difficult. Therefore, but in order to chitta ardratvam hriday vijindya bahubim, that chitta ardrada means this, the easiness of the mind, chitta ardratvam hriday vijindya bahubim, that will come to him siddhyandi janmandarehi. After many, many lifetimes executing this karma yogam, he will get to that stage at the end. So you can see how devotees or people who are advancing in Krishna consciousness, their heart has already started melting. They are not affected by the modes of nature, nor by things what goes on in this world. That is why in advanced soul who have far ahead in the Krishna consciousness, their consciousness is so elevated that they are not affected by the modes of nature or anything in this world. After many, many years of execution of Karma Yogam, they will get purified to come to Bhakti Yogam, and their hearts will become softer, or they are able to understand the process of Bhakti Yogam later. So this is why it is mentioned that Karma Yogam is actually the preparation for the Bhakti Yogam and Jnana Yogam. These two processes requires a certain amount of sacrifice through the process of karma. Therefore, Karma Yogam has become very, very important. Now look at Jnana Yogam. What are the other problems there? Jnana Yogam, one may develop Jnanam Karma Abhibhakti Tridamyohavel Prapyamam Tatradavel Nirvinnanam Asheshe Vishayim Abhavel Jnana Yogadigaraham. That Jnana Yogam, the qualification for Jnana Yogam is knowledge, no doubt about it. A lot of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, good intelligence, and very intense search through studying Shastram. And you have accumulated all the knowledge in this world, spiritual knowledge in this world, from the Vedic literature. You have accumulated everything. But Shastra says that's not enough. There is another thing which goes along with that. Nirvinnanam asheshe vishayhavashel jnana yogodhikaraham. That nirvinnanam asheshe vishayhavashel jnana yogodhikaraham. That one has to be totally detached to everything in this world. So you can see how many people can do that. That this detachment is easy to say, but when it comes to practical life only you will realize how difficult it is. In other words, in the Shastric language it is spoken in a little different way. There they will say that for the jnanis, one has to come to such a level of detachment that when they see certain things in this world, they have to get disgusted with it. That is the kind of detachment they need to feel to become qualified for Jnana Margam. And that will not happen. For example, sometimes they say, the Shastra they say, Shwanda Mutra Purishaval Tyajya. That's a statement, which means that, like there is an animal, a lot of people keep it at home, which has got a four legs and a tail. They hug them, they keep them on the sofa set, everywhere, in the kitchen, everywhere it's wandering around. And they think it's a very creditable thing in life. So that animal, when that passes its stool, there's another animal which eats that. You will see that in Vrindavan also. That animal wanders around. And sometimes it makes some strange noises also. And in addition to that, it will keep moving its tail in a funny sort of way. And in groups they follow. And when you see that animal and its stool and urine when it passes, there is a certain amount of disgust you feel after that, isn't it? Shavanda mutra purishaval tyajyaha. That is what the Shastric statement for that. When you see that, how much you feel disgusted with it, that what you see then, if you get the same amount of disgust, or in other words, if you feel the similar feeling, if you feel towards a material sense gratification in this world, then you are qualified for Jnana Margam. So you can see, majority of the people won't fall into that group. 99% of the people in this world cannot follow that Jnana Margam. That requires that frame of mind, which is so full of detachment, renunciation in this world, plus continuous, intense search for the truth by studying the literature and the under the guidance of a spiritual master. So, these are the things what one has to remember. Difficulty of Jnana Margam, knowledge associated with renunciation, detachment, most important. Karma Yogam, the difficulty. Once you take to Karma Yogam, what is the difficulty? Difficulty is this, that in Karma Yogam, that Atyaya Sagarani Karma Padalani Ajarya Niryan Malani, that when one executes Karma Yogam, immediately one has to develop this detachment of offering the results and not being attached to the results of action. Naishkarmyam. It is called Naishkarmyam. That is one thing. In addition to that, as Krishna says, it becomes only Karma Yogam. Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi dadasi yal yatapasyasi gaundeya tal kurushama darpanam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, offer everything to me. Only then it becomes Karma Yogam. So otherwise it is not Karma Yogam, it is Karmam. It is not Karma Yogam. So by executing Karma Yogam, in due course one becomes qualified to come to the Jnana Margam or to the Bhakti Margam. This is the beauty of this. That. So three yoga systems, Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. But because of the Karma Yogam is the stepping stone for the other two processes, Jnana Margam and Bhakti Margam. Karma Yogam is already explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning itself, how one should execute Karma Yogam, the importance of Karma Yogam. So this Karma Yogam, when it comes to Krishna consciousness, it becomes the activity to please Krishna. That is Karma Yogam for us. For a devotee, Karma Yogam is executing such activities to please Krishna. What will please Krishna? Nobody knows in this world. No one has found out till today what will please Krishna. Can anyone give an answer? What will please Krishna? Nobody can give an answer. Because every great devotee in this world has acknowledged that you do not know what will please Krishna. Example, if you look, when Vidura's wife, when Krishna went to Vidura's house before the Mahabharat war, when he went Hastinapur, Krishna stayed at Vidura's house. When he stayed at Vidura's house, Vidura's wife, out of devotion for Krishna, was offering the bananas to Krishna. She kept on peeling the bananas, the skin, and started throwing the banana away and offering the skin to Krishna. Krishna took it and ate it very happily. So this is the, Krishna accepted that offering of Vidura's wife. When Krishna went to see Kunti Devi in the forest, when Pandavas were there, Kunti Devi did not have much facility to offer anything to Krishna. So whatever that was available, Kunti Devi told Yudhishthira Maharaj to offer it to Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj offered whatever they had at that time. Krishna accepted that also. From Draupadi also you know what Krishna has accepted. Similarly, if you look that, when Krishna came as Govardhana Hill, personified, when Govardhana sacrifice happened, when Giriraj Govardhan was lifted by Krishna, at that time, all the cowherd boys and others offered plenty of food to Krishna. The amount of food they have cooked was unlimited. That is why on Govardhana Hill, we make this Govardhana Hill so big as you can, because unlimited food was consumed by Krishna on that day in Govardhana form. So Giriraj Govardhan accepted everything what was offered. And after everything was consumed, they said to the cowherd boys, now you bring water from Yamuna River because I can fulfill my thirst then. That was the answer from him. So like this, on that day, Giriraj Govardhan accepted everything what was offered to him. That is another instance. Govardhan was accepted means Krishna was pleased with the offering. That's what it means. When Krishna has accepted something, it means he is pleased with the offering, isn't it? It's a clear, you got a clear proof in front of you that he has accepted everything. That means your offering has been successful. When Vidura offered, it was successful. When Kunti Devi offered, it was successful. When Draupadi offered, it was successful. When Krishna came to the forest with the cowherd boys, and when the Brahmana's wives, the Viprabhatnis, when they brought the prasadam for Krishna and Balaram, Radharani and everyone who was in the forest, They all ate very heartily. And Krishna congratulated and thanked the women, so the Brahmana's wives, for the prasadam they brought. Means Krishna has accepted that. When Krishna was going to Sri Lanka, Ramachandra was going to Sri Lanka, Krishna came as Ramachandra. When he was going to Sri Lanka, when he was to spend many years in the forest, and then Sita was kidnapped later, at that time they were passing through Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram. And Bharadwaja, the great sage, he received Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Sita Devi, all three of them in the forest, and offered them the roots and the flowers and things like that, what was available in a sage's ashram. This is what Bharadwaj had at that time. And Bharadwaj offered them to Ramachandra and Sita Devi and Lakshmana. They were princes from the royal family. They were not used to eating all these things. But Ramachandra, without any hesitation, accepted everything at that time. When they came to further down, when they came to Shabari's ashram, Shabari, a woman belonged to the hunter caste, she belonged to the people who lived in the forest, didn't know anything about deity worship, offering or anything like that. She heard about Ramachandra and wanted to please him. So what did Shabari do? Shabari plucked a lot of fruits from the forest, very nice fruits. But she thought, before offering to Ramachandra, I should check whether they are fully ripe or they are good to eat. So every single fruit she has bitten and tasted it and checked it whether the taste was good. Whichever she found very tasty, she kept it for Ramachandra after eating. And whichever she found not so good, she threw it away. So all these half-eaten fruits, she took it to Ramachandra, kept it at Ramachandra's feet and paid her obeisances. Without any difficulty, Ramachandra took it and ate it happily. Ramachandra had no problem in doing that. When Krishna was among the cowherd boys, with the cowherd boys in the forest, when all his friends, the cowherd boys, they have brought prasadam with him, and together they all had a big feast. Krishna took the prasadam from everyone's plate, and ate it. Great yogis and great sages, when they perform sacrifices, or great kings, when they perform sacrifices, Krishna doesn't go there to eat. Although it is meant to please Krishna, but Krishna wouldn't go there. So there also you'll notice that Krishna may not go to accept prasadam from all those places. He is very reserved at that time. He keeps away from them. He says to the demigods, you can go and have your prasadam, whatever you like. He doesn't want it. But with these cowherd boys, he wants to sit with them, eat with them, and there is no purity or impurity, nothing is taken into account at that time. It is in the Bhagavatam, you can read all these things. So, like this, when what Krishna pleases Krishna is difficult to say. Nobody can say about it. And Vrindavanam, the gopis have offered Krishna anything and everything. Not only that, even when gopis have kept certain things in privately stored, Krishna has stolen it and ate it without any difficulty. So, what does please Krishna? Nobody knows. No one knows what pleases Krishna. This is the difficulty. So, therefore, Karma Yogam is such a process that when we're talking about Karma Yogam, that Yal Karoshi Yadasnasi Yajuhosi Dadasi Yal Yattapasyasi Gaundeya Tal Kurushamadarpanam, that everything should be offered to Krishna. This is the basic requirement of the Karma Yogam. So, it becomes Karma Yogam when the activities are performed without any attachment to the results and when all the results are offered to Krishna. So, in that way, what happens is, when one executes this Karma Yogam in this way, after some time, that Karma Yogam process will purify that person. It will purify him, because this Karma Yogam, because he has offered the results of his activities to Krishna, Krishna accepts that. In due course, that purifies not Krishna, but the person who has offered that to Krishna. It purifies him. And at that time, bhakti will develop in the heart of that person. This is how that system works. This is why Karma Yogam is put in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself. And the importance of Karma Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita is because of this reason. That unless one goes through this Karma Yogam, especially most of us who have come in this world, we had no idea what we are doing. We are working, earning money, enjoying sometimes suffering also along with that. And sometimes not knowing, because you are misdirected, as Prabhupada says, the misdirected civilization of this world, unaware of the loss of material nature. we execute different things. We don't care what we do. And that's the mentality of most of the people in this world are like that. They execute their work without really thinking the impact of that on themselves or on the society. Forget about the society, on themselves. They don't care. So because it is like that, it is the Bhagavad Gita is the science of the soul. How the soul has to go back to its original position, back home, back to Krishna. And so therefore, it is explained like this, that come to the process of Karma Yoga, execute Karma Yoga properly. This is the basic understanding of Karma Yoga. This is only a very basic understanding. So, last Saturday, when we discussed about this, we were mentioned that there are a few verses. Krishna, when first Krishna spoke about the knowledge of the self, about the spirit soul, that's what he discussed in the second chapter. Then he talked about the Karma Siddhantam, the principle of karma, how one should be executed. Karma, particularly the Karmakanda side, Krishna explained, and the difficulty with Karmakanda. Then Krishna spoke about the steady intelligence, how one's intelligence is become steady by following what process. All these things in the second chapter. In the third chapter, Krishna began straight away with these two things, karma and jnanam. Arjuna says to Krishna, I cannot understand. What you are telling me is confused me completely. On the one hand, you are telling me that knowledge is important. On the other hand, you are encouraging me to fight. And both are contradicting. And why do you want me to fight in these conditions? When he asked that question, Krishna replied, answer, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. What did he say? He says, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Krishna says to Arjuna that these are the two processes with which I have started this material world, how people start functioning in this world. Everyone, when he comes in, he has got these two options straight away. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. These two processes are available for him. And I started this millions of years ago, this science of self-realization, the science of spiritual knowledge. I started this ages ago. It's not today or yesterday it has started. Millions of years ago, ever since, the human society is on this planet. The Karma Yoga is important from this aspect, that when a living entity in this world executes karma, either he goes into the higher planets or he goes into the lower planets, depending on his activities. Now, whether you go to higher planets or you go to the lower planets, Naka go, Nare gova, whether you go to Nagam, Sorgam, or Naragam, hell. Naka go, Nare gova, whether you go to either of these things, the opportunity to develop further does not exist anywhere else. You have to come back here to this earthly planet. This is where all the karma is performed. Because karma is only here in the earthly planet, anyone who wants to go back to the spiritual world, he has to come here and execute the Karma Yoga process and through which to the other processes as well. Therefore, you can see the importance of Karma Yoga. Because karma, this thing called karma, is available only in this earthly planet. This is where you have got that opportunity Krishna has given to you. We do not see these things because we see everything in relationship with us. Krishna presents to us the overall picture of the whole creation. That is how Krishna's knowledge is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not too bothered about one earthly planet or one human population. Krishna is talking to us, look in the whole sphere of the whole creation. This is your position in the material world, in the earthly planet. Under the laws of karma, you are kept there. And from there, which direction to go, it is up to you. And here is the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. So beautifully explained that you can't find any loophole anywhere. Everything is very detailed mention, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why Bhagavad Gita is still giving so much thoughts to so many intelligent people in this world. When they read Bhagavad Gita, they are inspired by the Vedavyasa Maharshi's intelligence in bringing Bhagavad Gita to the human population. So, na kago, na re gova, whether you are in the heaven or you are in the hell, sometimes what happens is that you execute a lot of pious activities in this world. You go to the heavenly planets. And as Krishna mentions later, when your pious activities are completed, you will come here and most of the cases you will get a human form. That is guaranteed. That is one good thing if you go to the heavenly planets. The chances are when you come back here, you will get, more or less it's confirmed that you will get a human body. But it is not confirmed whether you will become Krishna conscious or not. You will come here and you will start your hellish activities again here. in some one form or the other. But when you go to the hellish planet, it may take a long time to get back to this earthly planet and to get a human body again. Because due to extreme sinful activities, one has gone to the hellish planets. And when he gets there, amount of time that may take to come back to the human body in this world, again under the laws of karma, and again to execute that too, to get a body and to be aware of the laws of karma, may take some time. So that means the danger is either side. In either side there is a possibility that one may get affected by this situation. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, like in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, like this, that I have given you a human body. He is telling us to understand the purpose of this human body. What is the value of this human body? Why? Because mrudehamadhyam sulabham sudurlabham. That mrudehamadhyam sulabham sudurlabham. Because Krishna knows what is going on in the heavenly planet, in the hellish planets and in the higher planets. Krishna can see the value of human life. We cannot see it. We don't know it because we are thinking, oh, this is another body. If I die, what happens? I don't know. What does it matter? As long as till I die, I want to enjoy here. This is all what we know. We don't know anything more than that. And nobody is going to tell you also. No scientist, no philosopher will be able to tell you this except Krishna. Krishna knows because Krishna says here, Nrudehamadhyam sulabham sudurlabham. That what I have given to you, this human body, is a very, very precious thing, Krishna says. Why? Sudurlabham. Because Krishna is seeing the hellish planets and the heavenly planets everywhere, and he is seeing the difficulty there. Because what's going on is there. Hellish planets, heavenly planets simply sense enjoyment. That's what's going on there. Because of the higher standard of sense enjoyment, that's what happens there. Now, when one executes karma yogam properly, he gets qualified to go to the heavenly planets. And in the process of executing karma yogam, if he has executed it properly, that means without attachment to the results, and offered his results also to Krishna, there is a possibility that he can go further from there, from karma yogam. That are the possibilities of janalogam, maharlogam, tapolokam, and satyalogam. All these planets are within this universe. They are not outside. They are within the universe. So after finishing their happy enjoyment in the heavenly planets, they get an opportunity to go to the higher planets of these four. Mahalogam, Janalogam, Tamolokam and Satyalogam. Mahalogam is on the border between the Karma Mandalam and the Jnana Mandalam. Jnanis live in the higher planets. Karma Mandalam is the where we are rotating continuously. So you go through Maharlogam, but when you come to Maharlogam, a lot of your karma is cleared up. You are not stuck there anymore, and you can continue further from there to Janalogam, Tapalogam, and eventually to Satyalogam. Though you will get to Satyalogam, but you are stuck at Satyalogam. You can't go from there further. Why? Because this difficulty with this Karma Yogam is that when you get to Satyalogam, you are meeting Lord Brahma there, and Lord Brahma is saying to you, my dear children, wait here. All you have come very nice. Now you stay in the Satyalogam for some time. And you have to wait there a very, very, very long time. Till Brahma finishes his activities in this universe. So you can see, Karma Yogam on its own, it is difficult to go back home to Godhead. It either prepares you to qualify for, whereas for a jnani or for a bhakta or for a devotee, this problem doesn't exist. Actually, if he has executed Krishna consciousness properly, at the time of giving up this body, one gets an opportunity to go back home back to Krishna, straight away, or to the Vaikuntha planets, depending on the relationship he had with Krishna. Similarly, for the jnani also, if he has perfected spiritual knowledge through his execution, he will purify himself to that level that he gets realized at the end, or he becomes qualified to take to the process of Krishna consciousness again. So like these three processes, although linked to each other very much, the process of devotion is far, far superior to all the others, because that is a process where Krishna takes care of the devotee. Without Krishna's help, it is not possible to advance on the path of spiritual life. So we were discussing these things last Saturday in order to mention that these different processes, where Karma Yoga stands in the middle of all these things. So when we talked about Karma Yoga, Krishna says to Arjuna, before we discuss Bhakti Yoga and all that, Krishna says there, Jnanena Sanghe Yoginam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. That these two things were going on in this world for a very, very long time. Yogi is practicing Karma Yogam and Jnani is practicing Jnana Yogam. That has been happening here. And then we talk, after that, Krishna spoke about the nature of karma. And that is where Krishna, what did Krishna say? Krishna says there that do not worry about anything, he said. Krishna says, the difficulty with karma is this, that when you execute karma, karma is not executed by the body, it is executed by the mind. The mind is the cause of all the problems. As long as you execute a particular karma, it will stay in your mind as in the form of a vasana. And that vasana will propel you further to execute another karma. And the result is this bondage will increase. That is what we have discussed. So we will continue from there. That was in the third chapter where from verse 4, we were reading the nature of karma, how karma binds. And verse 4, 5 and 6, I think we read that. So verse 7, I'll start from verse 7. So from verse 4 to verse 8, that is 5 verses, you will find Krishna talks about only one thing, the nature of karma, subhavam, or it's called the subhavam of karma. Yes, indriyani manasa niyamyarabhade arjuna karmendriyai karmayogam asakta savishishyade. Then Krishna says there, if somehow or the other, if you control your mind and execute those activities in this world, with your body, you are more or less succeeded, and it is the way you win over karma. You can get rid of your karma only by performing karma. This is the difficulty with karma yoga. Karma yoga, the karma is such, karma we all have behind us, a lot of karma, which we call as prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam, different kinds of karma. They are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam also later. So this karma, what we are carrying with us, which has followed us from so many lifetimes before, we do not know, we do not have a proper statement of the account of the karma banks. We don't know what it is. But one thing we know, it is there. Because you look at the life of the people here, you can find different people suffering and enjoying in this world in different ways. Everyone is working for becoming happy, isn't it? Who is working to become unhappy in this world? Nobody. Everyone works to become happy in this world. But you also find many people in that, not only many, most of the people at the end gets distressed in this process, in the effort to become happy. They are trying to become happy, but the result is they become distressed in this world. Why does that happen? They do not know that they are controlled by something else from behind. That is the Krishna says very clearly in the Srimad Bhagavatam that karma is following you. You cannot escape from that. So in spite of the fact that you have put all your best efforts in this world to become happy, happiness is not coming always. Always it doesn't happen. And sometimes you also see that sometimes people do become they may not execute their work perfectly, but something is there behind that has offered them the results. So what does all this mean? It means that even after executing one's work in this world, Krishna says there is no guarantee that you have to get the result. That is what Krishna says. Because karma mimamsakas have got this theory. They don't believe in God. They do not believe in a personal God that who gives the results. They say, if you execute pious activities, you will get pious results. Similarly, if you execute sinful activities, you will get sinful results. They simply believe in the law of karma, nothing else. But Krishna says, although the laws of karma is working in this world, the personality who decides who should get that result is me. That is the way it is. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashridam pranapanagadir pachamyanam chaturvidham. In the Bhagavad Gita you can see that. So many instances you will find Krishna explains later on to Uddhava also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here Krishna is saying there, by karma alone you can escape from karma. Yes, indriyani manasa niyamyarabhade arjuna karmendriyai karmayogam asaktasa visheshyadeyam. Then, but in order to execute karma in that way, one has to have the knowledge, the understanding of the laws of karma. Niyadam kuru karmatvam karma jyayo hyakarmana sharira yatra vichade na prasiddheta karmanam. Then karma means bondage. Basically karma means the cause of bondage. Many people, they give up karma because they know it is bondage. But when you give up karma also, actually it is the most difficult thing to give up karma in this world. Karma will bind you somehow or the other. We have talked about it. Three modes of nature are there and so many bodily needs are there. So one is forced to act one way or the other. One cannot escape from that. So by keeping away from everything, one cannot be free from karma. Then what is the option then? That's the question comes, isn't it? If it is like this, if karma is such a complicated thing, how do we escape from this karma then? That is why from now on, Krishna talks about another subject, which is known as yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. So you can see how everything in the Bhagavad Gita is linked from one topic to another. That karma becomes karma yogam when it becomes a yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. Without sacrificing, karma doesn't become karma yogam. That is the message there. So from now on, you will find in this chapter, yajñārthāl karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana yadar tadartham karma gaundeya mukta sanga samāchara. Yajñārtham karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. That Krishna is saying there, every activity which has been executed to please Him, please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in that way it is executed, it becomes a yajnam. That is when it becomes a yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. Yajnartal karmano nyatra logoyam karma bandhanam. That karmam that has been executed as a yajnam, it doesn't bind you. It does not bind you at any time. Therefore, when one executes spiritual activities without expecting as a sacrifice to please Krishna, that becomes yajnam. Yajñārthāl karmano nyatra logoyam karma bandhanam itadartham karma kaundeya mukta sanga samācharam. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that everything in life has to become a sacrifice, become a yajñam. How many of us are able to do that? This yajñam, what Krishna says here. That this is the, you can see the difficulty that how much karma, the nature of karma has to change in our activities. Karma becomes karma yogam only when it becomes a yajnam, as a sacrifice. That such sacrifice which has been performed to please Krishna, that is what is called yajnam. Otherwise it is not yajnam. If we think that spiritual life is a good way to make a live in this world, living in this world, that is karmam. That is not karma yogam, or neither it is a yajnam. Nothing is going to help you except the karma what you have executed will follow you at the end. Prabhupada has very clearly mentioned about that also in the Bhagavad Gita, how careful one has to be when one takes to the process of Krishna consciousness. Without understanding the very fundamental principles of Karma Yoga, how karma binds everyone in this world. In the third chapter, if you look, Prabhupada mentions there that the even starting from sannyasis, Prabhupada starts pointing out there, the renounced order of life can be accepted upon being purified by the discharge of the prescribed duties which are laid down just to purify the heart of materialistic men. Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyasam, retiring from fruitive activities. Krishna does not approve this principle. Without purification of heart, sannyasam is simply a disturbance to the social order. On the other hand, if someone takes to the transcendental service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord. So, there referring to the sannyasis, Prabhupada mentions like that. And in another verse 6, Prabhupada mentions that those who pretenders who refuse to work in Krishna consciousness but make a show of meditation while actually dwelling within the mind upon sense enjoyment, such pretenders may also speak on dry philosophy in order to bluff sophisticated followers. But according to this verse, these are the greatest cheaters. And he again mentions there that in the next verse, in the verse 7, Yastindriyani manasa niyamyarabhade arjuna karmendriye karma yogam asakta asavishishyade. Such a person who follows this method is far better, that means situated than the false pretender who adopts the show bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. So karma yoga becomes proper when it is executed with the right understanding and with the right spirit. Later on, in the next verse, niyadam kuru karmatvam karma jayohya karmana ശരീരം യത്ര അഭിചതി ന പ്രസിദ്ധിയേത കർമ്മണം. There he probably mentions there, so-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord, nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given capriciously, without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensities for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. So that is what happens in Karma Yoga. Such propensities to lord it over the material nature or the false ego that develops from that goes away. Without doing so, through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So Prabhupada has explained that if this is not understood properly, in the principle of Karma Yoga, what will happen is that we may think that we are executing Karma Yoga, but actually because this third chapter is Karma Yoga, which is refers to, which is the stepping stone to Bhakti Yoga, if we don't even execute Karma Yoga properly, it will delay the process of developing devotion in the heart. Because the purification is not happening inside, and therefore constantly the progress is checked. The progress in our spiritual path is checked. So, yajñārthāl karmaṇo anyatra, that verse is, then Krishna says, saha yajñā praja sriṣṭvā. So, starting about yajñam, sacrifices, Krishna starts discussing from now on the importance of yajñam. There are many verses now, Krishna goes on talking about the yajñams or sacrifices.
യജ്ഞാർത്ഥാൽ കർമ്മണോന്യത്ര ലോകോയം കർമ്മബന്ധനാഃ തദർത്ഥം കർമ്മകൗന്ദേയ മുക്തസംഗസമാചരാഃ സഹ യജ്ഞാ പ്രജാ സൃഷ്ട്വാ പുരോവാച പ്രജാപതി അനേന പ്രസവിഷ്യധ്വം യശവോ സ്ഥിഷ്ടകാമദോ.
ദ ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് തിങ് ഹിയർ ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് യു കെൻ നെവർ സേ വാട്ട് വിൽ ബി ദ റിസൾട്ട്. സഹ യജ്ഞ പ്രജാ സൃഷ്ട്വാ പുരോവാച പ്രജാപതി, ബിക്കോസ് എവ്രിതിങ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദി sacrifices. Sacrifices is the cause of everything. And one thing you can say, this yajñam is virtually the cow through which you can milk the results. If the sacrifice is executed properly, the results will come. The kamam will come. Or the material desires will come through that. That's why how the life was structured. You see, Vedic philosophy gives an importance to life in this world. It is not simply a question, a few instructions that you do this, you don't do this. No, and do what you like the rest of the time. No, the whole life in this world is structured in such a way that our time, energy and intelligence, what we have here, is utilized completely for getting out of the cycle of birth and death. And that is how the Vedic philosophy is. That the philosophy is giving us, the Krishna is giving us the intelligence to use this knowledge given in the Bhagavad Gita. That utilizing our time, intelligence and the ability in us, to utilize that effort in such a way that you can come out of this complicated cycle of birth and death. At the same time, one can maintain oneself in this world happily also. Even for that, one has to offer, make sacrifices. So, only thing is when you read this particular chapter, reference to yajñas and sacrifices, you will realize that this modern civilization does not anywhere come close to this, isn't it? Not only doesn't come close to it, doesn't have any knowledge also about it.
Yajñārtham saha yajña praja srishtvā purovāja prajāpati anena prasavishvadvame shavo sthishtakāmadu.
Then Krishna's point is this. When Brahma created all of us, he has created, given us some samskar in us. Yajña samskaram it is called. And he told, through yajñams you can continue, increase your wealth in this world. And you can live also happily wherever you go, whether you are here or in other places. Wherever you come to at the end, the samskaram that is, or the culture that has followed you from your sacrifices in the previous lifetimes, that is what is going along with you in your next life. And that yajna samskaram, or the culture that has come from yajnam, comes in different forms through us. How does it come? When it comes like this, when it comes here, when we come to this world, when we grow up, you will find certain tendencies in us. For example, we get convinced that we have to stay honest in this world. Honesty is important in this world. Why this honesty has come important role in our life?
We start thinking like that, that honesty is important in this world, to be truthful always. Secondly, to control the senses. Unlimited sense gratification is damaging, dangerous. So therefore certain restrictions are put on us. And these restrictions are understood by us. Why? Because of the yajna samskaram in us. Because of this yajna samskaram, that is what has come to us in this form to maintain the truthfulness and freedom from sense gratification and humility and many other things. As soon as one living entity takes a body in this world, he is able to observe many things and learn from that, I have to maintain all these principles in life. This is what everyone learns here first. In rare cases, where there is not enough yajna samskaram in that person, you can also see how that person's mind goes in another direction. But majority of people, you will find in the human population, they have these tendencies in them, that this has come from the yajna samskaram. But what do? These things are there, but in due short period of time, we forget all these things, we give up. And then we start our hellish activities here. Completely ignore what samskaram that has come with us, we ignore that, and we start our hellish way of life in this world. When we start doing that, it starts firing back on us. And that is why, I mentioned this before, this yajnam, karmam, karma yogam and all that, it particularly affects one group of people, out of the four. Out of the brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastham and sannyasam, it is the grahastha who has all these problems. You will find in this world, who else suffer more than a grahastha? It's a grahastha who is always suffering, isn't it? Who else has got more anxiety than a grahastha? A brahmachari and sannyasi, properly situated, do not have that anxiety like the grahastha is carrying on. That does not mean that grahastha ashram is anyway inferior. It is not inferior. We'll discuss that later in Bhagavatam also it comes. The grahastha ashram is position. But grahastha has got this greatest disadvantage. After entering into grahastha ashram, the possibility is that the tendency to commit sinful activities and without have any knowledge of the karmam and the loss of karmam and the result will be that he gets entangled in this world much more than anyone else. That is why in the next many verses you will find grahastha is being addressed to nobody else. Not sannyasi, not brahmachari, not vanaprastham, only grahastha. And because most of us are grahasthas, it is significant for us also. Sahayajna praja srishtva purovaja praja abadi anena prasavishyadva meshava ostishtaka amadum. We shouldn't tell lie, we shouldn't cheat, all these things are known to us, not to make fun of others. So many things we come with good vasanas like that, but in a very short time we throw away all that good vasanas and takes it to the wrong way of life. Then what happens? When we start doing that, the life becomes a loss at the end. It's not a profitable business anymore. We start doing it that way, and then as soon as we give up this, you see how dharma binds you in this world. When grahastha follows the path of dharma strictly, dharma will protect him. But when he gives up all this, yajna samskaram what has come, he gives up, he has to pay for it. That is why, is there anything in this world that never becomes perfect? There is only one answer, householder life. I don't know whether what you feel about it. Householder life is one thing. Can you any time say, I have done exactly everything correctly? You cannot never say that. No matter how much you do, at the end you will find it's not getting it right. This is the nature of householder life. No matter how much energy you put into it, you will realize that it's not working. It's not working. For some people it doesn't work at all. Some people it works a little bit. For some people it will be a little bit more. But the end, every householder at the end is only lamenting. He's saying, I didn't get it right. Either children have left you and gone away in their way, or the wife has left you, or husband has left you, whatever it is, or something else happened. Something or the other. At the end, a householder dies in this world cursing himself for all what 40, 50 years he has spent in this world. This is householder life. This is the reality of life. So, Krishna says, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Because we never made our life as a yajnam, a sacrifice to offer to Krishna. Because it is not linked to Krishna. The modern lifestyle is such a selfish way of life that there is no place for Krishna there anywhere. But learned sages knew this.
And Krishna also knew this, that this is what's going to happen to the householder. Krishna has given some concession to the householder to do live in this world. Certain concessions. Loke vivayamisham adya sevam. It says in the Bhagavatam later that Krishna has given that why marriage is allowed for us, because one finds difficult to maintain brahmachari life. So Krishna says, get married and live within the jurisdiction of family life. That's allowed. But at the same time, certain rules and regulations attached to that. But if we do not accept the rules and regulations, but we want to enjoy the life alone in the household life, then Krishna says, then your loss of nature, material nature, will take control of you. And then one after the other, distress starts coming in life. And when the distress comes, you try to contract with another false approach. And then that also fails. And something else comes. Like this, household life goes on from one day to another in this way. At the end, it's frustration in many cases. So in order to not to fall into that, Krishna says that, perform this sacrifice in life. Yajñātāl karmano nyatra logoyam karma bandhanam. That karma is binding us in every way. No, in order to explain this principle, Krishna goes for a few more verses. Devān bhāvayate neda, devān bhāvayānena, te devā bhāvayanduva, parasparam bhāvayanda, śraya paramavāpsyada. That Krishna says, when I created the human population as well as the demigod population, what I have done is, I have created a system where let the human society perform the sacrifices and let the demigods enjoy the fruits of that sacrifices. This is how Krishna says that. Devan, devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadham. So parasparam bhavayanda, mutually let them help each other. This was Krishna's words there. Why? Parasparam bhavayanda. When the demigods perform sacrifices, when the human society performs sacrifices, the demigods will reap the results. And in return, demigods will provide everything what is necessary for the human society to live in this world. You see how clever Vedic literature is. Vedic literature is not asking you to go to factory from morning 7 o'clock to work till 8 o'clock in the evening and then again spend another few hours in the restaurant or hotel entertaining your customers to get the business. Krishna is not saying this. Krishna says there, if this process, if you accept what Krishna says, parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadham, by mutually cooperating demigods and the human population, there will be no scarcity in this material world. There is no need to struggle so much to maintain the human society. All the necessities for the human society is provided by the material nature's arrangement. After all, at the end of the day, the food has to come from the land. The land has to grow the food. And for that, rain is required. So, and who is making the food to grow from the seed onwards and right up to the end? It is the arrangement of the material nature. So, you can see from there that our misguided philosophy, misguided civilization, which is totally based on falsities and false economy, is teaching us something to do which has nothing in relationship with Krishna's instruction. Parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadam. That mutually cooperating, Krishna says, you will get what is necessary. Shreya paramavapsyadam. That both of you will be benefited from this mutual transaction between the demigods and the human population. Ishtan bhogon hivyo deva dasyanne yajna bhavidaham. That taita dana pradayaibhyo yobhongte senam evasam. That we do not live in this world only to become happy after leaving this world, isn't it? When we are here also, we want to be happy. That is also another important thing, that we just don't want to go thinking that, oh, this world is so miserable, there's no point in trying to do anything here. No, most of the people, when we come to this world, our desire is to be happy here as well. But that happiness, Krishna says, if you follow these rules and regulations I've given in Karma Yoga in relationship with demigods and human population, that will bring that result. Parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadam. And the result will be that in human population, you will find coming to the level of demigods, they can elevate themselves to the demigods level. And this is what will happen. Ishtan bhogon hi devo vo deva ya dasivo yajna bhavidaha taitad dana pradayebhyo yobhamte estenam evasam. That when you have pleased the demigods with your offerings, what will happen? demigods will supply all the necessities of life in abundance. That's what Krishna is saying. They'll supply you in abundance. And this was the samskar that survived in this world for a very, very long time. How do you find that? If you take Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take Ramayanam, if you take Mahabharatam and all, you will find the kings were performing sacrifices one after the other. Indra alone performed over hundreds of sacrifices. He was called Shatakradu because of that. The name was given to him. Prithu Maharaj, in the Bhagavatam you will find how many sacrifices he wanted to perform. Prajina Barhis and so many other, many, many personalities, they were the kings of the past. They knew that in order to keep the people happy, it is not necessary to exploit them. Rather, the king took the responsibility by performing sacrifices. They were able to arrange everything, what was the necessity for human society to survive in this world. That, so, Krishna says there, anyone who takes what's been given to them by me, by my arrangement, we don't even recognize that Krishna has given this to us. We think that, oh, it's there for me to exploit. Straight away it starts, the day one. As soon as the eye open, immediately, as soon as he gets through his education, the engineering college or wherever it is, he realizes that material nature ready for exploitation. Wherever the oil, dig it, take it out. And this is the happiness of the... And in that process, have to give a lot of energy towards that.
യജ്ഞശിഷ്ടാശിന സന്തോ മുച്ഛ്യന്തേ സർവകിൽ വിഷയ്യ മുഞ്ചതേ ത്വേ ത്വഘം ഭാവം ഏപചന്ദ്യാത്മകാരണാൽ.
കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദർ, വൺ ഹൂ ഈറ്റ്സ് യജ്ഞശിഷ്ടം. യജ്ഞശിഷ്ടം മീൻസ് സാക്രിഫൈഷ്യൽ ദി ആഫ്റ്റർ പെർഫോമിംഗ് ദി സാക്രിഫൈസസ് ദ ശിഷ്ടം ദി പ്രസാദം ദാറ്റ് കംസ് ഫ്രം ദർ, ഇഫ് ഹി ഈറ്റ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ ഇഫ് ഹി ടേക്സ് എവറിഥിങ് ഹി വിൽ നോട്ട് ബി ബൗണ്ട് ബൈ ദാറ്റ്. ഇഫ് ഹി ഡസ് നോട്ട് ഡു ദാറ്റ് He will be bound by it. This is what he says. Yajna shishtashana sando muchyande sarvagil vishai bunjade tum akham babam eva chandyalma karanal. Whereas on the other hand, if he thinks that it's been given to me just for enjoyment and things like that, and only concerned about one's own sense enjoyment, and if he eats that, Krishna says it's sinful. It's sinful. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, especially in the process of Bhakti Yogam, prasadam is to be taken, nothing else. Everything should be offered to Krishna and then it should be eaten. And this principle has come from this verse. Ebajan bunjadetum akham babam ebajan dhyalpagaranal. That this verse is very clear about that. If you don't offer to Krishna what you are eating in this world, because every living entity subsists on food grains. Food is the main thing that subsists this body. And if this body does not consume the food after being properly offered to Krishna, bunjadetum akham babam, it is sinful. Krishna says, and that will be the result, will be that he has to simply accept the sinful reaction of that in due course.
Annal bhavandi bhudani parjanya danna sambhava yajnyal bhavadi parjanyo yajnya karma samulbhavam. കർമ്മ ബ്രഹ്മോത്ഭവം വിധി ബ്രഹ്മാക്ഷര സമുദ്ഭവം തസ്മാൽ സർവഗതം ബ്രഹ്മ നിത്യം യജ്ഞേ പ്രതിഷ്ഠിതം.
ഇൻ ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ട്രൈങ് ടു സേ ദയർ അന്നാൽ ഭവന്തി ഭൂതാനി പർജന്യാദന്ന സംഭവം. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് നോട്ട് ട്രൈങ് ടു മേക്ക് എസ് എ ലിറ്റിൽ ബിറ്റ് ഇന്റലിജന്റ് ടു തിങ്ക്. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ടു അസ് അന്നാൽ ഭവന്തി ഭൂതാനി, ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ലിവിംഗ് എന്റിറ്റീസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് സബ്സിസ്റ്റ് ഓൺ ഫുഡ് ഗ്രെയിൻസ്. വിതൗട്ട് ഫുഡ് ഗ്രെയിൻസ് നോ വൺ ക്യാൻ maintain themselves here, is it? Even if it is animals, if those who are eating animals, even they require, animals need grains or vegetables or whatever it is. Cows, they need also vegetables, and vegetables are offered to them or grains are offered to them. So even if you are eating flesh, still annal bhavandi bhudani, every living entity depends on annam or food grains. Parjanyad anna sambhavam, That can only sustain in this world if there is rain. And yajnyal bhavati parjanyam, that if you perform sacrifices, you will get rain in time, in the right place, and the right quantity. Yajnyal bhavati parjanyam, yajnya karma samul bhava. So you can see the relationship from yajnyam, parjanyam, or rain comes, and from rains, living grains will grow in this world. So simple, simple principle. And you can see that these three things are not in your control. Neither parjanyam, nor the annam, the growth. Annal bhavandi bhudani parjanyal anna sambhava yajnyal bhavadi parjanyam yajnyal bhavadi parjanyam yajnya karma samul bhava. From Yajnam comes everything. Krishna is trying to prove to us how important Yajnam is. From Yajnam, Parjanyam rains come. From rains, food grains grow. And from food grains, you can live happily in this world. A simple way of living, don't have to entangle too much in this world. Get absorbed by all the other complexities of this world. Krishna has kept it very simple for us so that we have enough time to execute spiritual life. That was the purpose behind it. So, Krishna, as Krishna says before, I have given every facility for the human society. Why blame Krishna? We keep saying, act of God, act of God. Actually, it is not act of God, act of us. That's the way it should be said. When we have rejected Krishna's instructions, and when we do things, when things go wrong, it's act of God. When things go well, it's act of us. We have done it. I've done it. It's me. Who else can do it? Oh, then there is no God, nothing exists after that. But when things go wrong, a big earthquake, or a big cyclone, or a drought, or anything like that happens, it's an act of God. All you can do is to measure on the Richter scale how much it is, whatever the figure it is. So what is the foolishness behind it? Just see how it is. Bhagavad Gita is above all these things. It does not tell you that you don't have to engage in such ghastly activities in this world to maintain this human body. This is the principle of Bhagavad Gita. To maintain everything so simple. Yajnyal bhavati barjanyam. Yajna karma samul bhava. Everything comes from yajnam. Sacrifice alone was sufficient to maintain the human population in this world. We falsely think that we have made a lot of progress, this, that and the other, by our research and by our university education and running here, running there, traveling from one continent to another, flying here, flying there. Consider all these things as great advancement and feeling false pride about it and thinking that all the time meditating, thinking that, oh, next thing the scientists will tell us how to stop death. That's going to come in the next few years or so. And then I'll go for that tablet after that. So like this, all foolish ideas have got into the head. Why? Because Krishna's knowledge is there in the Bhagavad Gita. We don't want to read it. Why? Because as far as we are concerned, Krishna is not so significant, what Krishna says. But again and again, when a disaster happens in this world, some thoughtful people, they'll start taking Bhagavad Gita and start reading it again. Only after the disaster, not before that. But why not we read Bhagavad Gita before that disaster happens? When the disaster happens, it's too late to read Bhagavad Gita. But then Krishna says, you have accumulated so much karma, now that you have to burn some of it. So he puts us together, fight and quarrel each other and kill each other and suffer for that. And then we'll start slowly opening up and then think about Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says. At that time, we will start appreciating it. Up to that, Maya will not allow us to come to this conclusion.
Evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartaya dihaya aghayu indriyaramo moham partha sajivadim. That is interesting. Evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartaya dihaya. Krishna says, you are on a wheel of cycle of birth and death, and this wheel is continuously rotating, and you keep moving. But we are not bothered about the wheel too much. We are bothered about our seat on the cycle here, where we are sitting. We are more concerned how long we will protect our country or our society or community or family or this, whatever it is. This conception is so strong in our head. Evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartayadihaya aghayu indriyaramo moham partha sajivadim. That one who does not understand this cycle, Krishna says, cycle of birth and death and the loss of karma, and he is functioning in this world totally ignorant of all these things, what will happen to him? Mokham partha sajivadi. He is simply accumulating duridam. Duridam means sinful reactions. That's all he is getting it at the end. And at the end, at the time of death, you lie down in the bed in any general hospital or wherever it is, crying, connected with all the tubes and the life support machine or whatever it is, and crying, you leave this world. You leave this world crying in the same way. That is what Krishna is saying. Mokham partha sajivadi. Because throughout life, he had no time to think about any of these things. He was busy with his so-called business or accumulating wealth, whatever it was, that was giving him great happiness. This is so in order to make the human society aware, how much more can Krishna say about it? That how powerful the karma is and the effect of karma is. And in ignorance, when not realizing the effect of karma, one continues to engage in activities which are detrimental to one's own interest. What to talk about the rest of the world? യസ്വാത്മരതിരേവത്സ്യാൽ ആത്മതൃപ്തശ്ച മാനവ ആത്മന്യേവ ച സന്തുഷ്ട തസ്യ കാര്യം ന വിദ്യതേ. ഫ്രം ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഓൺവേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഡോണ്ട് തിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ഇസ് ഓൺലി ഫോർ ദി സന്യാസീസ് ഓർ ബ്രഹ്മചാരീസ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഫോർ ദം കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് സന്യാസീസ് ഓർ ബ്രഹ്മചാരീസ്. ബിക്കോസ് സ്ട്രിക്ട്ലി സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ദി അഡ്വാൻറ്റേജ് ഇൻ സന്യാസാശ്രമം ആൻഡ് ദി ബ്രഹ്മചാരി ആശ്രമം ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദി detachment they have and do not have such a selfish interest behind their life in this world, they are practically free from the loss of karma. I am not saying all brahmacharis are perfect or all sannyasis are perfect, but if you follow the principles of brahmacharyam and principles of sannyasam properly, it releases them from this loss of karma to a very high extent. They are not bound by that. It is only this householder who has got this problem, because it is his life where all these businesses goes on. Yastu almana dinevasya atmadruptascha manava almenyeva sandushta tasya karyam na vidyadeyam. Because one who is fixed up in spiritual life, if he is properly situated in spirit soul, in the consciousness, right consciousness, that person is not bound by anything what he performs in this world, provided he is fixed up like that. But who is fixed up like that? Nobody. Most of us are very much pound, shilling and pence, as Prabhupada says. These are that type of people we are. That everything what we do, we need to have the results for that. If we don't get the results, we don't want to invest in that, our energy or our wealth. So, for such people, for those who are realized, they don't have to gain anything in this world. They continue to perform the activities in that mood. That. When we get contaminated by our selfish activities, and when such activities increase, and the result will be that our householder life also suffers due to that. It becomes impure, more and more. Very impure it becomes. That is why that householders are the one who is targeted with karma yoga. Naiva dasya jakrada anartham, nakrudeneha kaschana, na jasya sarvabhudeshu kaschidartaveva ashrayam. That for the personality who is naiva tasya kridena artho na kridene ha kaschana, that one who is one who has come to the understanding that he is has a strong desire for liberation and he has given up all the material activities in this world, who is very strongly fixed up in going back home, back to Krishna, such a personality has nothing to do also in this world, and because he hasn't got any attachment in this world. That situation, like brahmacharis and sannyasis case, generally that is a state of mind, unlike in a householder's life. Householder's life, he wants everything, isn't it? Is there any householder who doesn't want anything? Every householder you take, every few years he has to change the house, he has to move up in the ladder, as they say here, isn't it? He has to move up in the ladder, property prices have to go up, otherwise householder is always checking the property prices. Secondly, he has to have all the facility, all the latest gadgets, the latest car, the latest everything and the best holidays in this world, plus a cushy job, plus a big bank balance, plus everything, a comfortable social life. You can see all this, what it is taking us to. And even after repeating this again and again, as soon as we leave to the temple, we start continue doing the same thing again after that. It's forgotten there itself. We don't even realize. We think this is all natural thing. What am I doing wrong in this? Everybody else is doing it. I'm also doing the same thing. I'm not cheating anybody. I'm making money. Everybody else is making money. And I'm investing in the right portfolio. So the shares are returning very well. Where am I doing anything wrong? What have I done wrong? I've not done anything wrong. Everything I'm doing rightly. Now all I can do is I can offer some of it to Krishna, provided Krishna returns me better than what I have invested in Krishna. There also you want the best returns, even from Krishna. This is the Grihastha Ashram. Please bear this in mind, how dangerous this whole Grihastha Ashram is. That you can keep on analyzing yourself. Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is different. We cannot twist that. We cannot change it to suit us. And thinking that I'll do all these things the way I want it, and I'll accordingly Krishna, and the results are not coming, then you start blaming. Oh, I have chanted so many years, I've been to the temple, I've paid so many years of obeisances to Krishna. He is still standing there, has no
emotions on Krishna's face. Krishna is still the same. Why is it like this? Because when we move away from Bhagavad Gita, that is why this is the law book. The rules are already laid out. If you don't follow the law, no matter who it is, there is no exception to anyone in this. Everyone is bound by this laws of material nature. These are the laws of material nature. Krishna is saying there like this. Te deva bhavayanduva naivadasya kridayana artho nakridineha kaschana najasya sarvabhudeshu kaschidartavyapashraya tasmal asakta sadam kairyam karma samajara asakto yajaran karma paramatna odipurusham. Grahasthas are such people, they have many, many different things to do. As I mentioned, it doesn't need to be explained because we are all householders, we know how what it is like, the life is Monday to Friday and then the weekend and then further again after that. It is a full planning and given to you and you are planning the life based on all what's going on in this world. But Krishna says, beware what is going on. It's not going to be acceptable at the end. And at the end what happens? Sometimes Grahastha executes such a kind of activities that attachment will build up. Which Grahastha is performing any activity without attachment? I haven't seen one yet. Every one of us, activities are with full of attachment and full of results. That's what is expected from there. Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astida janagadaya loga sangrahamevapi sampashyan kartumarhasi. Krishna says there that karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astida janagadaya. Now, Krishna brings back, you may wonder when you read all these things, is it possible to execute householder life without all this? Because we don't know anything else, do we? This is all what we have seen in our life. From birth to death, all what we are seeing is everyone is running, chasing after something. And this chasing will never end till we retire, and even after retire, we are still thinking, it's another opportunity to make money somewhere else. So, this will go on. So, but Krishna is saying here, Arjuna, this is not the way people have lived in this world before. And he gives an example of Janaka, Janaka Maharaj in Mithila. This family of Janakas in there, they were all, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find what was their greatest qualification. They were all householders, but all of them were liberated souls as well. And with great surprise, Sukadeva Goswami, surprise means while speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, while in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam you will find there, when Lord Ramchandra married Sita Devi, when they were returning from Mithila back to Ayodhya, Sukadeva Goswami evaluates Lord Ramchandra there, and also about Janaka Maharaj, King Janaka's family. And there, Sukadeva Goswami says this about King Janaka, that when Ramchandra married Sita Devi in Mithila, one benediction was given to them, that every member of that family who takes over there later on will all be householders and all of them will be realized souls. This was the beauty of King Janaka's householder life. They were all such advanced grahastha. Everything they have done in this world, they were kings. Kings means you can imagine they have to administer the kingdom. So much responsibility, they did everything. But in spite of that, what was that? They were fully realized souls. And this great personality, Sukadeva Goswami, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, goes to Janaka to learn the science of transcendental knowledge. So you can imagine how great King Janaka was. Sukadeva Goswami goes to see him, to discuss with him about the nature of the Absolute Truth. That comes in Mahabharatam earlier. But there is a discussion, and later on Sukadeva Goswami is given the title as Sri Shugan. Sukadeva Goswami by King Janaka, seeing his renunciation detachment. So that's another thing. But Krishna has quoted here King Janaka as the best example for such householders. Yadyada jarati shreshta loga sangraham eva abhi sambashyan kartu marhasi. Now if somebody thinks that, oh, because the karma is so much complicated and binding, I'll give up everything and stay quiet. Krishna says, no, you can't do that either. Loga sangraham eva abhi sambashyan kartu marhasi. Loga sangraham. For maintaining this world, you have to function. He says, in order to be an example to others, Krishna says, Krishna was a householder. He was not a sannyasi. In fact, it is difficult to say what Krishna was. Whether he was a brahmachari, whether he was a grahastha, whether he was a vanaprastham or sannyasam, difficult to say. Whether he was a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra, difficult to say. Because the way Krishna has appeared in this world and his activities were such, it is difficult to bring Krishna under varnashrama dharma. But still, By marrying 16,108 wives, Krishna proved that he is a real householder, isn't it? Krishna was a real householder. But at the same time, when the requirement came for a strong brahmachari, when the battle of Kurukshetram, they were looking for a brahmachari. What happened once was, in the battle, when from Kaurava side, I think it was Karna or Bhishma, fired an arrow and it took away Arjuna's head. Arjuna's head was gone. And the head has gone to Patala Logam. It is reached there. That was the type of astam or the arrow they have shot. With the some mantra it is done. Arjuna fell without the head there. Arjuna was lying there. And at that time, there was a... everyone looked at Krishna. Krishna was in the chariot driving Arjuna. And Arjuna's head was gone. Arjuna was lying there in the chariot. Krishna immediately was very quiet. There was a sound from the sky saying that, if there is brahmachari, one brahmachari who can say he is strictly a brahmachari, if he comes forward, then this Arjuna's head will come back. They looked everywhere. There was none. And Krishna says, I am that brahmachari. So what is Krishna? Is he a brahmachari or is he a grihastha? So married 16,100 wives, but when it comes to inquire, when they asked for a brahmachari, it was Krishna who was there. That is why in the thousand names of Krishna, there is a statement there, Anadi Brahmachari Jam. Eternal Brahmachari is Krishna. So why? Because even as a householder, Krishna was a brahmachari. That is the way Krishna functioned in this world. So in order to teach us how to be a good householder, in one instance, when Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Krishna in Dwaraka, because people told Sri Narada Muni, some people were saying to Sri Narada Muni, that we hear that Krishna has married 16,108 wives. Is Krishna everywhere all the time? How can one manage? Even for a man, ordinary man, one wife is sufficient to handle in this world. He struggles with it. One husband or one wife, you can say both sides, because to make it equal. So, even one is finding it difficult. And here, Krishna, 16,108 wives. So naturally, people will talk like this. In Dwaraka, this talk came about, saying that, how come Krishna can manage a householder, proper householder life? So, Narada Muni told them that there is no question. Krishna is Bhagavan, Supreme Personality Himself. And He should not have any difficulty. He can expand. But nobody will agree with them, with Krishna. They said to us, with Narada Muni. Narada Muni, they said to him, you are just saying that because you are his friend, you are his devotee, you are talking like this. But have you seen anything? Narada Muni said, I don't have to see. I'm pretty sure that what Krishna can do, I'm aware of that. But the people kept telling Narada Muni that it is not possible. Krishna cannot do that, maintain 16,108 wives. I'm sure almost most of the wives will be very unhappy because of absence of Krishna. Either Satyabhama or Rukmini is holding Krishna there. And no one else has any access to Krishna. This way they started speaking. At the end, Narada Muni decided, I'll go and verify it myself. So he started going in Dwaraka to every house. This is in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, the story is there. And the interesting thing was, when he was going around, in every house, Narada Muni saw Krishna in different ways relating to their wives, relating to Krishna's wife. In one house, Krishna saw Rukmini and Krishna sitting together and chatting each other. In another place, Krishna and Satyabhama were playing chess together. And in another house, Krishna saw Jambavati serving Krishna nicely, prasadam. But interesting more than anything else was that, when Sri Narada Muni, after going through 8 or 10 houses like this, he got tired. 16,108 houses if you have to visit, Narada Muni felt it's impossible. So he kept going, he was sweating, Narada Muni was sweating. By now, Krishna was also enjoying seeing Narada Muni, let him check it out himself and go and answer back to the people who were complaining about him. After a while, Narada Muni was getting so tired. That's the time when policeman came up to Narada Muni and told him, please come with me, he said to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni has not experienced the policeman before. So Narada Muni says to him, why, what's the matter? He says, are you so-called Narada Maharshi? He says. He says, yes, I am. Yes, Krishna wants to see you, he says. So every house, he never went in. He looked from outside and moved on to the next house. You see? So when eventually, this policeman brought Narada Muni to in front of Krishna. So Krishna says, Narada Muni pays his obeisances to Krishna. Krishna calls Narada Muni first time, my dear son. he says to him. That's how he called him. He says, my dear son, that I am the person who spoke about Varnashrama Dharma in this world. About Dharma means Dharmam Varnashramana. Varnashrama Dharma means the Dharma. Who instituted Varnashrama Dharma in this world? It's me. But I am not a person who will speak something and who will not do it. No. If I am instituted some Varnashrama Dharma system in this world, I will strictly follow it, Krishna says. That is why, as a householder, I will be a first-class householder. If I am a brahmachari, I will be a first-class brahmachari. And that is why, in 16,108 wives, Krishna's householder life is so famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridharada Maharshi didn't say one word after that. Quietly paid his obeisances and came back and told the people who asked him to verify that there is no need to verify anymore. I have verified and I have understood what is to be said. More interesting than anything else is that when Narada Muni was walking around in the houses, different houses, in every house he went to, the weather was different. In one place it was raining, in another place it was sunny, a third place snow was falling, and another fourth place it was something else. Like this, weathers were changing, all situations were different in every householder. And Sri Narada Muni, after that visit, never again went back to Krishna to check that. So, as a householder also you can see, Krishna as a householder, when he instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam, he mentions this, that householder's duty is, and you are a householder, you have to act like a householder, not like a brahmachari. That is what Krishna was saying to say there. So, we have to continue with this further, because it's a long chapter, which will continue next week. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.